जयो राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जयो जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवराधरी जय गिरिवराधरी जय गोपी जन जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवराधरी जय गिरिवराधरी जयो यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनातीरा वनचारी वनचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवराधरी जय गिरिवराधरी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवराधरी जय गिरिवराधरी जय यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोद Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Stotra Shata Shri Srimad Abhay Charanarinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya Samaveta Bhaktavrinda Ki Jaya All glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jaya mudirayet Nashta prayeshva badrishu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavatyutamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki Yam Pravrajantam Anupetam Apeta Kritiam Dvaipayano Virahakatara Juhava Putreti Tanmayatayo Taravobinedus Stam sarva bhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. Hare Krishna. So today we are reading verse number 6 from the 10th chapter of the 3rd canto. The chapter is entitled Divisions of the Creation. Tapasa hi Edhamanena Vidyaya Cha Atma Samsthaya Vivridha Vijnana Balaha Nyapat Vayum Saha Ambhasa Tapasahya dhamanena. Tapasahya dhamanena. Vidyaya chatma samsthaya. Vidyaya chatma samsthaya. Vivridha vijnanabalo. Vivridha vijnanabalaham. Nyapatvayum sahambasa. Nyapatvayum sahambasa. Tapasah yadhimanena. Vidyaya chatma samsthaya. Vivridha vijnanabalo. Nyapatvayum sahambasa. It's okay. Tapasa by penance. He certainly edhamanena increasing vidyaya by transcendental knowledge. Cha also atma self. Samsthaya situated in the self. Vivridha matured. Vijnana practical knowledge. Balaha power. Nyapat drank. Vayum, the wind. Saha, ambasa, along with the water. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Long penance and transcendental knowledge of self-realization had matured Brahma in practical knowledge. And thus, he drank the wind completely along with the water. Purport. Lord Brahma's struggle for existence is a personal example of a continued fight between the living entities in the material world and the illusory energy called Maya. Beginning from Brahma down to this age, the living entities are struggling with the forces of material nature. By advanced knowledge in science and transcendental realization, one can try to control the material energy which works against our endeavors. And in the modern age, advanced material scientific knowledge and penance have played very wonderful roles in controlling the powers of material energy. Such control of the material energy, however, can be most successfully carried out if one is a soul surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and carries out His order in the spirit of loving transcendental service. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Tapasa yadhyamanena vidyaya chatma samstaya vibridha vigyana balo niyapatvayum sahambasam. Long penance and transcendental knowledge of self-realization had matured Brahma in practical knowledge, and thus he drank the wind completely along with the water. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavati Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpadarvyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yantah pravishya mama vachyam mam prasuktam sanjeevaya takila shakti darasvadhamna anyam shahasta charana shravana tvagadim prananamau bhagavate purushaya tubhyam svasyasta vishvasya kalah prasidatam dayanta bhutani shivam mithodhya manascha badram vajata tadokshaje avesyatam naumati rapyahai tukim. So we're reading the third canto, and actually in this beautiful short purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the gist of the essence of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The meaning of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam ultimately is how to deal with material energy. That's the first problem which any living entity encounters when he comes to this material world. We are thrown into this ocean of material energy, and we have no clue how to deal with it. And as Prabhupada says, there is a continuous struggle for existence. There is a continuous struggle with the illusory energy of the Lord Maya. And that's the first and the most fundamental problem which every one of us has to deal with and has to somehow or other, by one means or another, to solve. So the natural tendency of living entities is try to solve this problem by material means. We are dealing with this huge and very fearsome material energy, and you know, the natural idea which comes first in the mind is try to solve the material problems by material means. By using the same material energy, including mind, which is a part of material energy, and by our beautiful mind, which is given by God, we will figure it out. So that's exactly the mentality which is depicted here in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in case of Lord Brahma. He was also bewildered. As powerful as he was, or as he is, with his four heads, he was trying with his four heads to figure out what to do with this material energy. And he was diving deep, and he was looking in all directions, and that's why, you know, four heads appeared in his shoulders. But despite of four heads and great diving abilities, he couldn't really figure out what to do. He was completely still bewildered, and not only that, you know, he understood at one point that the lotus flower upon which he was sitting started shaking. That's again exactly the description of our situation in this material world. We are trying to figure something out. In the meantime, you know, the earthquake is coming. everything starts shaking. And we don't know what to do, you know. Any time we can be thrown out from our beautiful lotus flower which we are sitting on, our position, whatever it is, you know, sannyasi, spiritual master, temple president, this is all our lotus flowers upon which we are sitting. And at the same time trying to deal with this material energy, onslaughts of material energy, and, you know, all these shaky positions in this material world. What to do with this? And we all know the advice, the suggestion, which is given to us by Srimad Bhagavatam and the example of Lord Brahma. Srila Prabhupada says that here is Lord Brahma showing his personal example, what to do. You know, he has huge task at his hands to create the whole universe. We have considerably smaller tasks in front of us to create little temple or to maintain little temple or whatever task may be, or, you know, to at least to clean a little room which we're living in. But no matter what task do we have in front of us, we have to follow Lord Brahma's example if we want to be successful. Because even the little task which we have, we may be complete failure. You know, we may have a little task in front of us, but we will be a huge failure if we don't really follow the example of Lord Brahma. And ultimately the example of Lord Brahma, which he shows, is that before trying to solve material problems by material means, we have to concentrate on the source of this energy. Before rushing into this struggle with the material energy, wrestling with material energy, boxing with the material energy, before being in a hurry to somehow or other find a solution by material means, we have to do tapa. You know, this beautiful mantra was given to Lord Brahma in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, two syllables. And sometimes it's not very clear what kind of tapa Lord Brahma did. Did he stand on one leg in this lotus flower and try to, like Hiranyakasipu, by raising his hands, create some tapa. No, but actually, by tapa, it's a very important point to understand. What is tapa? Tapa means meditation on the Lord. Tapa means devotional service. There is no other tapa. You know, the demoniac tapa, which Hiranyakasipu did, is not what is being recommended by Srimad Bhagavatam. Tapa means dhyan. Tapa means meditation on the Lord, as the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, manmana bhavamad bhakto. That's the tapa. That's the essence of tapa. This is what we are supposed to do if we want to solve the material problems which we are facing. If we want to be victorious over the struggle for existence. There is only one means to do it. The one proper means. Plenty of improper means. No problem. The whole range of improper means are there. You can use any one of those. But there is only one proper means of dealing with the material problems is to meditate upon the Lord. To really think about the Lord and invoke His mercy. As it is depicted in Srimad Bhagavatam, while doing this, at one point, Lord Brahma could... by this meditation, what is happening, by this meditation, our mind becomes more clear, more transparent. And we can see the material world and the problem which we are facing in a more clear way. Because the main problem is not the problem. The main problem is that our wrong way of seeing the problem. The problem can be solved. There is no doubt about it. But because we are bewildered by Maya, we don't really see what is the problem. You know, we are trying to solve not the problem which we are facing, but some after effect of this problem. That's what usually people do. You know, they have some headache. So that's the problem. No, that's not the problem. That's, you know, long after effect of the problem. The problem is much deeper. And therefore, by trying to solve this immediate effect or something which is superficial, something which is on the surface, without going to the root of the problem, we're not solving the problem. This Albert Einstein, he said that this is the sheer sign of madness to think that you can solve the problem by remaining on the same level of mind which created this problem in the first place. You know, the problem which you are facing is created by you, and you think that the mind which created this problem can solve this problem. No. The mind will only exaggerate or will only, you know, make this problem even worse. Because this is the same mentality. The same mentality created the problem. So by trying to solve this problem with the same mentality, you only create a worse problem. That's exactly what people are doing now. You know, they created this crisis with the climate. In environmental crisis. So how we will solve this problem? We will solve this problem by, you know, creating some means of, you know, material means which will actually worsen the problem. That's exactly what, this is the way of material energy. This is exactly what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, that the people, you know, they're creating, they're making the problem worse by trying to solve it. It's better if they don't solve it, then try to solve it. You know, you created this problem, so sit quiet and see what happens. But if you try to solve it by material means, the result will be exactly the opposite. And that's what is going on. And, you know, anyway, there is no even need to give the examples of this. It's just going on and on and on, this madness of this vicious circle of creating bigger and bigger problems by using material mind. So, tapa, meditation on the Lord, is the means to purify the mind. Because only by pure mind, when your mind is pure and transparent, you will be able to clearly see what is the real cause of all the problems which we are facing. Only by this pure mind you can see the root cause of everything and try to solve the real problem, not what you think is a problem. You know, that's what again is depicted in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Brahma's way of solving the problem is being described. When he was first meditating on the Lord, and ultimately he could see the Lord very clearly. It is actually explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that he had this huge task of creating the universe. But because of the meditation of the Lord, he could, in his mind first, very clearly see what he is supposed to do. And then it becomes very easy. You know, usually we rush into the into this trying to solve the problem at hand without first thinking about it. So it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam then that by meditation on the Lord, you will understand everything very clearly within your mind, and then doing it will become very easy. Doing it will become very natural and very, you know, spontaneous. And Lord Brahma, he was praying to material energy, to creative energy of the Lord, with the understanding that the Lord is behind this material energy. You know, again, the main mistake which we always do is to deal with the energy without understanding who is the master of this energy, without trying to satisfy the master of the energy. Therefore, Prabhupada, I mean, it's an amazingly beautiful purport. He says that, yes, you can try to solve these problems by material science, by advancement in this material science, but ultimately you can only successfully solve the problems if you invoke the mercy of the Lord. If you really call upon the Lord and meditate upon the Lord, and that's the way of doing this. Sometimes people, even devotees, unfortunately, without understanding this methodology described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, even devotees don't see how to apply our, you know, very sublime and lofty philosophy in a practical life. You know, ultimately, the philosophy which we are studying every day in Srimad Bhagavatam has to be applied in our day-to-day or even minute-to-minute life because it's practical. And this is exactly what is said here, because it is said, tapasa hyadhyamanena vidyaya chatma samstaya. So what happened by his tapasa, by the means of his tapasya or meditation on the Lord, and by the increased meditation of the Lord, vidyaya, and by his concentration on mantra. Whenever in Srimad Bhagavatam, this word vidya is concerned. Vidya is usually, you know, usual translation of vidya means knowledge. But more specific translation was what is meant by vidya in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's usually mantra. So these two means are given by Lord Brahma in his personal example, as Srila Prabhupada says in this purport, how to solve the problems. First, tapasa, meditation on the Lord, combined with the chanting of the mantra. Not just chanting of the mantra without meditating on the Lord. These two things are together. Vidya and tapasa, they will bring about atma samstaya. They will bring about they will help us to be established in atma. and self-realization. They will help to understand who we really are. You know, if we do these things, tapasahya dhyamanina vidyaya, you know, if we chant and try to meditate on the Lord, on His will, on His desire, on His presence in this material life, then, and also, of course, Atma Samstaya is also in instrumental case here. So Atma Samstaya here is also the means to solve the problem. But as a result of it, the result of tapasya, the result of chanting mantra, and the result of also being established in our spiritual, original spiritual position, what is the result? Vivrida vijnana balaha. Vivrida vijnana balaha literally means that our strengths to solve practical problems will increase. Vivrida means increase, vijnana means practical knowledge, as Prabhupada translates, and bala means the strength. Our ability, our ability to understand how to solve the practical problems of our life will be increasing. Not just, you know, again, sometimes even devotees think that this is something impractical. You know, that there is my practical life and I have to study karmic books on management. You know, I'm myself of this kind of person, you know. I remember that time when it was very fashionable in ISKCON to study Stephen Covey book. And I was also teaching this Stephen Covey book. Seven Habits of the Most Effective People or whatever it is. So, that may be okay, but ultimately we have to understand that the ultimate solution is study Srimad Bhagavatam and apply Srimad Bhagavatam, apply the methodology of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the methodology of Srimad Bhagavatam is again very simple. Tapasa Vidya means chanting of the mantra, and Atma Samstaya, when we are understanding that there is God and I am little tiny soul which needs to be connected with the Lord, and by means of this meditation I am trying to connect with the Lord, and that will give us the increased vijnana, practical understanding, and bala, the ability to deal with the difficult problems of our life. And we can see on this example of Lord Brahma that his ability of solving the problems become immensely increased, because, you know, the problem is described in the previous verse. The problem was that the powerful wind started blowing, and this powerful wind agitated the waters of dissolution which were there, and actually even before Lord Brahma started creating the universe, the everything was threatened to be destroyed. It is said that this energy of dissolution was there in the waters and in the wind. All these elements, very powerful elements which we have to deal on a daily basis, you know, sometimes you are living here in America, sometimes some hurricane is coming, and it's usually called by very beautiful feminine name, Hurricane Maria or whatever. And this huge stuff is coming. So, and how to deal with this, you know? But Lord Brahma was in this fix, in this dilemma. You know, I'm supposed to create this universe, but before I create this universe, you know, this powerful wind and the water will destroy everything even before I start creating something. But in this verse it is said, but you know, when this problem came, because of his increased knowledge, he just drank both water and the hurricane which came, you know. Can you imagine, you know, if you by intense meditation on Lord Krishna Obtain the same power, you know, the hurricane comes and you just, you know, you open your mouth and you say, and that's it. The problem is solved. No hurricane anymore. Everything is fine. Everything is calm and peaceful. That's exactly what Lord Brahma did. He just, that's it. Now we can peacefully create the universe according to the order. So, again, what I want to say is that Srila Prabhupada is beautifully describing the very essence of the third canto. If we want to understand the third canto, it's just enough to understand this one purport. Because, again, the meaning of third canto is how to really live within this world which is full of problems with, and how to do it by meditating on the Lord. How to do it properly by the proper meditation on the Lord. It's a scientific process. It may not be that easy as I'm trying to describe here. But therefore, elaboration is there. The whole third canto elaborately describes this, but that's the essence. And the mistake which we can do is to try to deal with the material energy separately from the Lord of the material energy. If we're trying to deal with the material energy without dealing with the Lord, without trying to please the master of the material energy, and then we will be a failure. You know, we may be successful for some time. Like some people, they may feel very proud, oh, I'm so successful in dealing with this material energy. I achieved so much, this much and that much. And all these useless Hare Krishnas, they're just escapist. They're trying to escape from the problems. No. Yeah, it's a fact. Sometimes we do try to escape from the problems by living in our little room in the Brahmachari ashram. But that's not the purpose of Hare Krishna movement. That's not the purpose of Hare Krishna temple and Hare Krishna ashrams. The purpose of this glorious establishment is to teach us how to solve the problems in a proper way and to teach others, to help us to understand this ourselves, apply in our life, and to teach others how to solve these problems. And Srila Prabhupada, that's what he did. He was not creating this movement for some, you know, misfits who are just trying to hide from the material energy. No, he created this movement. He wanted to create superhumans who are like Lord Brahma, can just, you know, in one gulp solve the problem, you know, because of this increase of vijnana, vibridha vijnana bala, increase of bala, increase of practical ability in this life. And that's what we're supposed to do here. That's the task which we're supposed to deal. Whereas in reality, unfortunately, it doesn't work all the time. But nevertheless, as Prabhupada says, Lord Brahma is showing us practical example, and we should try to follow his practical example, how to properly struggle with the forces of material nature and how to ultimately become victorious. Because again, any other means of trying to solve material problems will end up in complete failure. You know, Parabhava Stavat Abodha Jata. Lord Rishambhadev in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that that everyone is born in ignorance, and because everyone is born in ignorance, everyone ends up in complete parabhava. Parabhava means defeat. the ultimate result of everyone's life, unless we are enlightened by this philosophy, the ultimate result of everyone's life is parabhava, defeat, failure, total failure. You know, you may be very successful for some time, but then ultimately, you know, the inglorious death will come. As in case of Hiranyaksha, who was also very successful, extremely successful, in trying to conquer over material energy. He failed. And the lesson of this verse and the whole third canto and this particular chapter or section of Srimad Bhagavatam is if we want to be successful, we should really learn how to solve the problems of our life by meditating on the Lord, by praying to the Lord, and by invoking His ultimate pleasure and mercy. That's it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes, very good.
Thank you for a very wonderful class, Maharaj. I just wanted to get clarification on something. So say we adopt the correct methodology of trying to solve the problems, surrendering to Krishna. But is it that we can expect that the problem will be solved on the material level? I say I have a financial problem. I'm a devotee. I have a financial problem. Or somebody else. And they decide, okay, I'm not going to try to just work harder. I'm going to try to surrender to Krishna to solve this financial problem. Is it reasonable, is it philosophically correct to think that my financial problem will be solved as a result of surrendering to Krishna? Or I have a health problem. You know, is it philosophically correct to think that my health problem will be solved as a result of surrendering to Krishna? And, you know, okay. The examples go on and on and on. If so, what is the meaning of that verse in the 10th canto, Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamano Gunjana, which suggests that you just have to tolerate, you know, the problems don't get solved on the material level. They just continue on, but the ultimate solution is that we're elevated to a higher state of spiritual consciousness and we're able to see things in the proper perspective, but the problems are still there.
Clear, right? I would say that both things are correct. The problems, you know, this, we're living in a very problematic world. The problems will continue. There's no doubt about it. There is no end of material problems. That's the way of this world. And by surrendering to the Lord, we definitely acquire, we become more equipped to deal with these problems internally in the sense that these problems will not throw us out of balance, that these problems will not be exaggerated as usually people do. They have little problems and in their mind it becomes total, complete monster. You know, they, instead of solving the problems, they exaggerate the problems and the problem becomes even more, you know, huge than it usually is. Definitely, this we should expect, and that's the most important way of dealing with the problems. But at the same time, by surrendering in the Lord, first of all, we acquire different consciousness which help us to see the problem more clearly and to try to find the solution. Because surrendering to the Lord doesn't mean that we become really passive and, you know, I'm just surrendered unto the Lord and I'm here, yes. It gives us also some more clear understanding how to deal with the problem. And it gives us more strength how to deal with the problem. And it may also solve the problem. So I wouldn't separate this completely. I think that these both things are together because, you know, acquiring more clear consciousness, we also become better equipped in finding the proper solution to the problem. We should definitely not expect that it will just automatically be solved without any other, miraculously, without any other our, you know, involvement. No. But as a human beings, naturally we have the tendency, you know, we have a problem at hand, a health problem. So we have to deal with this problem. Surrendering is first the most important step in dealing with the problem, but it's not the last step. By surrendering, we also can understand how to deal with this problem properly, or, you know, if we understand that this is, like, for example, Maharaja Pariksit. Maharaja Pariksit, he was dealing with the problems very valiantly, in a very heroic way, but then at one point, you know, he understood, the Lord wants me to do something else, just to surrender to Him and not to deal with the problem of Takshaka and the snake, you know. So it really depends. But, you know, oftentimes we have to deal with the problem at hand, and that will help. Yeah.
Tom Morris, thank you for a very nice class. I think on this particular point, we have an example of that of Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
You know, in the course of his life, you know, he was a young man.
Yeah.
You know, he lost everything. He kept endeavoring. He finally took sannyas, got gored by a bull, almost died. Never forgot the instruction of his spiritual master. And by that principle alone, I think he was successful, because he came to America. On the way to America, he had two heart attacks. When he landed in New York, it was the coldest winter storm in the history of that particular part of the country. And Prabhupada came with just a little coat and these little Indian shoes. The amount of suffering and pain that Prabhupada went through in order to accomplish his particular goal is a uniqueness of a surrendered soul. Mm-hmm. And even if we take a margin of that, not necessarily the whole thing, but if you just take a piece of that in terms of our life, we can become successful. So Srila Prabhupada set the example of what it means in this material world of a devotee who's absorbed in tapasya, as you were speaking.
Yeah.
And the result of that tapasya was that even after Prabhupada became, quote, successful, in terms of where he was previously, he never ever forgot what his mission was.
Yeah.
It's, you know, sometimes Papa would say, you know, we have so many centers, and in each center there's so many devotees, and in each center lakhs and lakhs of Lakshmi is being utilized to spread the Krishna conscious movement. Never did Papa ever become over enamored by that, or even by his so-called success. He just simply focused on maintaining his tapasya, his goal of becoming, you know, going home back to Godhead. He never deviated, and he was fully absorbed in the instruction of the Guru. So an example for us would be to take the example of our Guru, try to focus our life on that particular instruction, and we will be successful. It doesn't mean you're not going to suffer. It doesn't mean that sometimes you're going to be so poor, you're not going to be able to even, you know, maybe even eat for that matter. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying that whatever the circumstances, that the pasta is
continue.
The goal to go back home, back to Godhead.
Yeah. Once Prabhupada was in front of some businessman in India, in Mumbai, in Bombay at that time, and they asked him, Swamiji, can you show us some miracle? And Prabhupada said, I went to America with 40 rupees and I came with millions of dollars. Is it a miracle? They said, yes, it's a miracle.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a wonderful class. And not just the way you analyze the verse, but very, very practical. Use that word a lot today, practical. Example of how to give a class. Thank you very much. Right now we have you scheduled to speak again on Saturday, but if you would like to speak tomorrow, we can certainly arrange that.
I think San Diego tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to San Diego. Okay. So, just on this last question that's been floating around by Brigham Party Prabhupada, Prabhupada gave us practical solutions. So almost everything. Devotees would have acne. Prabhupada would tell them how to cure the acne. So when it comes to financial problems, which seems to be the motivating factor in his question, Prabhupada gave very simple advice. Don't borrow money unnecessarily, and don't lend money unnecessarily. Because if I borrow money from you and I lend it to somebody else and you don't repay me, then I become a thief, Prabhupada said. So don't do that. However, on the spiritual platform, he said his spiritual master deliberately put the mat into debt so that the devotees would not become complacent and just sit down and eat dal, rice, and chapati. Go out and collect. Go out and preach. So this is eye-opening. You deliberately put your mat into debt so that the devotees will have to work. Yes. So the spiritual vision is way above the material vision. On the material platform, you don't want to go into debt. You want to stay out of debt as much as possible. But on the spiritual platform, you may go into debt deliberately so you can work harder for Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a very wonderful class. I just wanted to take up one point that you mentioned, and that was the principle of surrender as a means to ultimately solving all of our problems. Surrender to Krishna, of course, not to just anyone in the street. Krishna knows everything, and Krishna can give us a part of that omniscience if he so wants, if he feels it's in our best interest, and it's the best interest of everyone else. So Krishna gives us a very nice solution in the Bhagavad Gita. In all activities, just surrender unto me. And all activities, just surrender unto me, and I will free you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So Krishna is saying, that was not what I wanted to say, by the way. And all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. Mm-hmm. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, me, if you act that, it doesn't say I, but I just added that to make it clear for those who don't know what ego means. So if you surrender unto me and work always under my protection, you will be free of all of the problems, which is what we've been talking about throughout the talk. You'll be free of all your problems because Krishna is omniscient. He knows everything. And if we deplete, if we plead to him, if we beg him, if we cry out to him, that, look, I don't know the answer to this. Could you please help me out? He will be very happy to give us help. I do that every day. Not once a day, but many, many times. Answers come because he knows everything. If I try to get the answers just from my own head by scratching it, it just doesn't come. So therefore, depending upon Krishna, the word is dependence. To depend on Krishna is the greatest. To just depend upon ourselves without taking shelter or aid or guidance from Krishna is to trick or cheat ourselves, unfortunately.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. One point that I thought that devotees, because we get affected, we're so conditioned that sometimes, even if we know that what we're doing is not good, but he said, okay, we'll take the practical way. So I'll give you an example. The environment, you mentioned the environment. So we have the knowledge. But to carry on to solve the problem, it becomes a little bit difficult. For example, the plastic thing, you know, when we use so much plastic, and eventually there's a lot of consequences when we don't cooperate with the good environment. And the pesticides food. So even in our own temples, we focus, of course, on, you know, book distribution, preaching, but the practical example of ourselves doing something so the world can see is still lacking. Anything you can probably talk about?
Yeah, you're exactly right. There is very conspicuous lack of practical examples which we give. So, and therefore Prabhupada said, I only accomplished half of my mission. The other half is, as he said, Varnashrama, means how to live in this world, how to deal properly with this material energy in a harmonious way so that it would not exasperate the problem, it will not increase the problems, but will give the solution how to live in this material world in a sustainable manner. So, and that's definitely the call of the day, the need of the day, because the world increasingly becomes more and more difficult place to live. And unless we really show the example, then, you know, then the whole ISKCON or the Krishna consciousness movement will be a failure, because people, especially now, they need some practical models how to live. So, and that's basically what we should think about, you know, what kind of principles. Because sometimes people have this idea that Varnashrama means you live somewhere on the land and you plow the land with the bulls. It may not happen. It may happen sooner than we think, you know, when the whole civilization will crash. But it's not necessarily the only thing which we should model. You know, even here in this temple we should, or in little Namahata, we can establish some Varnashrama principles. The principles of interaction with the people, the principles of, you know, helping each other, and, you know, there are, Varnashrama is not only, you know, plowing the land and, you know, counting ourselves as Brahmanas and everyone else as Shudras. It's not the only definition of Varnashrama. Varnashrama means the healthy interaction between the people based on the proper principles. And they may vary. The principles of Varnashrama, of course, eternal. They don't vary, but, you know, the application of this principle, for example, in this particular temple community or Namahata or whatever, they may be a little different, you know. And therefore, first we should understand the principles and then see how they should be applied properly. The example which you gave is plastic, yes, definitely we should try to eliminate plastic for our life. Otherwise, you know, the whole world is becoming more and more plastic and everything. And perhaps the first step to start eliminating plastic is to get rid of plastic smiles in our faces. And deal with each other properly in a proper Vaishnava way. So, but it's a big topic, you know, but it's definitely the need of the day. What does it mean to live in this world and to deal with this material energy as a Vaishnava without destroying the world, but with improving the world? Yeah. It's definitely what we should think all the time and try to, you know. I'm trying to do it now. I kind of formulated certain principles besides principle of Varna and Ashrama, which are definitely very prominent, but there are some other very important principles which make Varnashrama social social structure sane? What are these eternal principles of social interactions or of social, you know, structure which will help to create more healthy society, society which we can live in and die peacefully.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj, for the lovely class. From the verse today, you mentioned that vidya means knowledge,
mantra.
And the
mantra. Vidya means mantra, yeah.
Mantra.
Primarily.
So, and you also said that it is very important to chant the mantra as well as meditate on the Lord. So the question I had is chanting simply only considered as meditating on the Lord, or chanting a daily rounds at a certain given time and then throughout the day while solving the problems of this material world, is it is also important to meditate on the Lord's presence and the creation?
Yeah, absolutely. No, meditation should be constant. We try to create or develop the habit of meditating on the Lord all the time. He's here, He's present, He's with me, He's in my heart, He's in the heart of every living entity which I meet. And, you know, by this meditation only we can solve the problems, yes? Not only during mantra. And actually the meditation on the Lord, in our case, you know, I remember very clearly, actually, Japa Prabhu, who was, I believe it was him or somebody else, he told me, you should think about Krishna. In the very beginning, it was 40 years back or something. And I tried to think about Krishna, but it didn't really work. I didn't know what to think about him, how to think about him, or how to meditate about him. So the practical way of meditating on Krishna is just to study Srimad Bhagavatam and study Bhagavad Gita. That's the practical way. Everything else is impractical for us. Meditation for us, tapasya means study Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and preach Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. That's the tapasya.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay. Oh, okay. I don't know.
Meaning of tapa, it's only chanting or something else.
No, tapa means austerity. She's asking what is the meaning of tapa. Tapa means literally fire. The literal meaning of tapa, fire, it means that, you know, certain actions, certain austerities which we do, which increase the fire of our mind, the fire inside. So, and translating it in the practical terms, tapa means meditation on the Lord, which will increase the power of our intelligence and mind. Because the intelligence has this nature of fire. And when we meditate on the Lord in a proper way, then the power of intelligence is increasing. Ekadashi is a part of tapasya, definitely. Is a part of tapasya, definitely. There's no doubt about it. And you can even physically feel that when you fast on Ekadashi, then the body temperature will increase at the end of the day. But anyway. Okay. Thank you very much.
In the previous verse, it is said that Brahma did 100 celestial years of tapasya. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that the lifetime of Brahma?
Sometimes the celestial years means that the years of demigods. So in this particular case, it doesn't mean his own lifetime. It's 100 years of demigods. That's what it means. Okay. Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Grantara Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai. Gaura Premanandī. Thank you.
basically